Welcome to the weekend and this edition of the Florida Roundtable. Like many things, the cost of health care has skyrocketed. There are many factors driving that increase, and today we'll look at those, and one in particular that we'd hope could be controlled. I'm Bill Mick, and joining me this week is reporter Anna Claire Vollers with Stateline.org. One of her recent columns addresses this issue and one factor in particular, hospitals buying up physicians' private practices, in effect, corporatizing your doctor, making that doctor an employee and answerable to the bottom line as opposed to the consumer, the patient. I've seen this play out in various forms with friends of mine as they navigate their own health issues here in the Sunshine State. Anna Claire Vollers is with us, the state of healthcare, this week on the Florida Roundtable. Thanks for joining us here on the Florida News Network.
Scorching hot car interiors can cause devastating injuries or worse in just a matter of minutes. Take extra care in making sure your whole family is out of the car before leaving. Put your purse, wallet, or phone in the back seat as a reminder. If you see a child or pet locked in a car, call 911 immediately. Remember, there's no excuse for leaving anyone behind. Go to flhsmv.gov/child safety for more info. That's flhsmv.gov. A message from the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
An official message from Medicare.
I'm saving money on my Medicare prescriptions. Maybe you can save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $24,000 a year or married couples who make less than $32,000. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out.
Go to ssa.gov/extrahelp. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
Make your garden come alive with Quality Greens Specialists. Discover Quality Greens' beautiful nursery with thousands of fruit trees, fruiting plants, flowers, herbs, and vegetables. Enjoy an explosion of color and see amazing results in your garden. Quality Green has the very best in organic-based, sustainable products to grow everything super productive, strong, and healthy. Quality Greens Specialists, 335 West Michigan Avenue in DeLand. Conveniently open 9 to 4 daily. Online at Quality Green Specialists.
Thanks for being with us this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. Bill Mick with you. You can catch up with me and our podcast at BillMick.com. They're at the top of the page there. Joining me this week, Anna Claire Vollers, who is a reporter for Stateline.org. Anna Claire, thank you. I appreciate you taking the time. It's good to have you along this weekend on the Florida Roundtable.
It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Tell me a little bit about you. You're a reporter. That industry has been changing, and I didn't know anything about Stateline.org until I saw your story a couple of weeks ago in the Orlando Sentinel. So tell me a little bit about what you do and how you got there.
Yeah, I've been a reporter for almost 20 years now, but for the past few, I've been doing healthcare reporting at Stateline. We are a nonprofit national news outlet. We focus on state policy. We're looking for trends that we see in multiple states, and then we try to connect those dots for readers to help them understand issues that may be affecting them, but aren't just happening just to them. They might be happening to folks in other states too. So kind of helping people understand why we see certain trends and what states are doing to tackle those issues.
And you're specifically covering health?
Yes.
That's a world that's changed a lot. How much fun is that to dig into?
Oh, it's drinking from a fire hose right now. It's a lot going on in the healthcare space. So never a dull moment for sure.
Tell me about your background. What got you started in the journalism world? Something you were always interested in or something that developed as you went through school?
You know, it was. When I was in college, I thought I might try the student newspaper. And to be honest, the first time it came out with my, I saw my name, my byline there in the newspaper, I kind of fell in love.
Okay.
So that's where it started and been doing it ever since. You know, like you said, journalism's changed a lot in the past 20 years that I've been doing it, but and we're, you know, we're all online now at Stateline, although our stories are free to republish, and so they get reprinted in hundreds of newspapers across the nation every week, which is great to see kind of where our stories end up. So this has been a fun time for healthcare reporting, for sure.
Well, you went through that transition yourself because you were a newspaper reporter originally, and we're seeing it across the country that print media, especially newspapers, has had a tough time transitioning to the online world, didn't figure out how to monetize it till very late, and we've seen vast reductions there, and we're seeing some of those in radio as well. So you experienced that. Were you surprised you survived as a reporter into the online world?
Honestly, a little bit. I feel like the only constant has been change in journalism. And, I came from a newspaper background, and when I started working there, we had more than 100 reporters on staff. And, it slowly got cut down until the newspaper does not exist anymore. And so one of the things I love about what Stateline does is, because we're a nonprofit and free to republish, smaller papers that still are up and running, often don't have the financial ability to provide, have a lot of reporters to employ as many as they used to. And so places like us are able to, they're able to run our stories, which are fact checked and copy edited and, solid quality stories that they now got access to and can run for their readers.
I can imagine you might find a little bit more freedom in the world you're in now compared to where you were as a print reporter for a paper.
It is. It's fun to get to. I'm based in Alabama, so not too far from you guys, but I get to interview folks from all over the country. So that's always a good time, always interesting.
That is. Are you seeing any particular trends, and we're under a minute here in the segment, that are developing in healthcare that we need to keep an eye out for?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest that we've been seeing over the past decade is consolidation in healthcare, which is just kind of a boring sounding word for more of your doctors and hospitals and clinics are being bought or acquired by, a small number of very huge healthcare systems. And so I think that's probably a good segue into what we'll be talking about today. But I think that's one of the biggest trends we've seen in healthcare over the past decade.
I'll tell you what, it's happening in healthcare. It's happening in a lot of other industries as well. Media in particular, I mean, we see it. We've experienced drastic cutbacks in the last several years. We've seen it in print media and the like. Anna Claire Vollers is with us this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. She's with Stateline.org, and we're going to take a look at healthcare, some things that are causing costs to go up and maybe service to go down. That's ahead this weekend.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help, and you need it now. Call the tax pros at United Tax Fix today. Call 800-762-2768. That's 800-762-2768.
Florida pedestrians, be aware. Watch out for traffic. Always walk on the sidewalk if there is one. If no sidewalks are present, walk against the direction of traffic. Cross the roadway where pedestrians are expected. Wear bright colors, carry a flashlight, and follow pedestrian signs and signals. And remember, look out before you step out. Learn more at flhsmv.gov/child safety. A message from the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Hello, I'm Hector Elizondo, Emmy Award-winning actor, and I want to talk to you about getting older. My body hurts, my joints ache, and sometimes I forget.
I forget that doing all your own scenes for a movie isn't always the best decision, especially when you're galloping side saddle down a countryside road on a horse named Archibello, who seems to have only one speed, high. And pulling on his reins only seems to encourage him to go even faster. So, of course, my body hurts and my joints ache, but it's not because of my age. It's because I'm living my life. Oh, Archibello!
Don't let life pass you by. Take care of your brain health. It may just help you stay on top of your game.
As soon as this scene wraps, I'm going to kiss the ground, thank Archibello for his outstanding performance, feed him a carrot, and visit brainhealth.gov.
Find out how you can make the most of your brain as you age at brainhealth.gov.
Back on the Florida Roundtable, Bill Mick with Anna Claire Vollers with Stateline.org. As we're taking a look at rising costs in healthcare, that's nothing new to us. Anna Claire, that's been going on for quite a while. Can you give us a rundown of the basic causes of what's causing healthcare to accelerate beyond what inflation normally would do, it seems?
You know, that is a huge and complex topic. We've got a really complicated and wonky healthcare system here in the U.S. You know, some reasons that we might see costs going up. We've got hospitals that are buying other hospitals, buying physicians' offices, as I recently wrote about, and that is causing some costs to go up because when you've got fewer actors in a marketplace, they can charge what they want if they don't have so much competition. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of issues with insurance reimbursement, both from private insurers and also Medicaid and Medicare, and the way that, you know, physicians and hospitals have to operate in order to keep the lights on. If they don't feel like they're being reimbursed correctly, that makes costs go up for everybody. It's just kind of a big mess, to be honest. But specifically, I have been looking recently at this consolidation issue in healthcare spaces where health systems and hospitals are buying up clinics and private practices. It's not a new trend, but we're seeing a lot more research come out that kind of verifies what I think a lot of us have been feeling, which is that these kinds of things are driving up costs for consumers.
It makes sense. Is there a reason that the hospitals are doing? Is it financial only for them? Are they eliminating competition? And does customer service, patient services, do those get lost in the process?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few reasons why, main reasons why you'd see this. I mean, for hospitals, of course, buying up physicians' practices and clinics and imaging services and all of that, that helps increase their revenue. It helps them corner the market. So more market power means you get to set your own prices and you've got more power to negotiate better reimbursement rates with like insurance companies and the government. And also hospitals can create this kind of ecosystem where you might go and you might see your primary doctor who also works for the hospital, and then you might get referred to a specialist who works for the hospital. They might send you to get an MRI at an imaging place that's also connected to the hospital's network. Maybe you get physical therapy and on and on and on. And so you end up in a place where everybody that you're seeing and all of your referrals are actually under the same healthcare umbrella. And for doctors, you know, it kind of makes sense for them too. If you are in a small practice, if you join a larger health system like this, you are more likely to be able to negotiate higher reimbursement rates from insurers. You get paid more. It's less hassle if the health system, the hospitals are handling all that administrative work, paperwork and all that kind of thing. It gives you access maybe to more expensive technologies or more resources, more capital to improve your practice. So all of it makes sense. And I don't think, you know, acquisitions like that are necessarily always a bad thing, but we are seeing some negative effects, obviously, to patients.
Well, I can see for a physician that goes to 8 or even 12 years or more of education in order to be that specialist that they are. You didn't go to school to be a business administrator, so you have to hire one of those. You've got all of that in play, and that increased their cost. And it takes their attention away from the patient care that they were looking to provide when they went to medical school to start with. So I can see where that would make sense. Is this happening with general practitioners as well? You know, your family doctor. I grew up in a small town in West Virginia. We had 3 family doctors in a small town, and they were all busy. Yeah. Is that happening on that level too?
Yeah, I think actually family practice is one of the specialties, if you want to call it that, that is most likely to be purchased by or acquired by hospital systems. A lot of times you'll see systems wanting to acquire kind of the bigger moneymaker specialties like cardiology, hematology, oncology, internal medicine. You'll see it all over, and most emergency room doctors now also are employed by the hospitals.
That your column from a couple of weeks ago focused specifically on OBGYN type services and the cost increase that has happened there when the hospitals have bought out these practices. You would almost think if they're bringing these in and consolidating their services, they might be some savings to the consumer, but it's not ended up that way.
Yeah. You would imagine because they're able to, and I think that was probably an argument that you might hear from these bigger health systems is that they're streamlining all their processes and all the you know, back shop type stuff like paperwork and all that. But I did the story because I was interested to see the study. When they were looking at different services and the cost of those, they focused on childbirth, because that's one of the most common reasons why somebody would end up in a hospital. And what they found was that 2 years after a hospital had purchased an OBGYN practice, prices for labor and delivery jumped an average of $475, and physician prices rose an average of $500, which is pretty significant. I mean, anybody who's ever given birth, hopefully they've done so with some sort of insurance, because that is not cheap.
Yeah, no doubt. How much of that attributable to inflation rates during the study period, or was it just how the hospitals chose to bill it because they could?
Yeah, I think there's obviously always a number of reasons behind why hospitals might charge what they charge. But yeah, I think they just found across the board that that these prices were raising regardless of inflation.
Okay. As you looked at this and as you started reporting on it, did you find anybody who was working to actually contain the costs and try to help the consumer out here? Or is it just out of control and hard to rein back in?
You know, it's we've seen some states taking some actions recently in the past few years, trying to curb costs for people, because I know I'm sure you guys have seen that medical debt is one of the most common, maybe the most common forms of debt. And I think some really large percentage of folks in America have some. So there have been, and the thing about reining in medical costs is that it's actually a bipartisan issue. You'll see state legislators on both sides of the aisle tackle this issue, which in today's political climate, it's pretty unusual to find something that everybody seems to agree on. One of those efforts is that we've seen folks in different states try to tackle something called facility fees, which are charges that hospitals can tack on to patient visits. If you visit a physician office that's owned by the hospital, but might not necessarily be actually in the hospital or on the hospital campus. I wrote about that last year. In most states, hospitals are allowed to tack on this fee to your bill that's supposed to help cover the higher cost of operating a hospital. But when they buy physicians' offices, some of them were also tacking that facility fee onto your bill for visiting a physician's office, even if it might not be anywhere near the campus of the actual hospital. And so we were seeing a lot of state lawmakers try to go after these facility fees. Actually, in Florida, in 2022, Florida passed a price transparency law that requires hospitals to notify you if they're going to put facility fees and other types of fees. We've seen some states go further and ban facility fees. It just kind of depends on where you live. Other states have tried to, you know, cap the rate that hospitals or physicians can charge for certain services. So there are efforts out there to kind of rein in these costs for consumers, but they're patchwork and it really often depends on where you live.
Sounds to me like we're paying a dealer services fee when you buy a car. A dealer prep fee,
right? It is
a
little bit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if anybody who's ever looked at a hospital bill, you know, there are a lot of fees and charges on there that sometimes it's hard to sort through.
Well, let's talk about that for just a minute, because hospital bills are complicated and not a lot of consumers want to take the time, or maybe they're not as capable of digesting that bill as possible. Anything out there helping them figure this out? And I mean, insurance companies seem to control a lot of what happens there as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think it you know, it'll depend on whether you have insurance and what type of insurance that is, how good the insurance is. Here in America, it really, the type of healthcare and the type of costs that you have absolutely depend on your health insurance. So there are consumer groups out there that will help folks navigate particularly thorny medical bills, but honestly, it's very often up to the consumer. You've got to go seek out things like that. You've got to stay on the phone with your insurance company or with the hospital. Most hospitals will, if you call, there might be a way to navigate down or negotiate down some of those costs, but it takes a lot of legwork on the part of the patient in almost every case to do something like that.
I can see where that would be difficult. Let's talk about the insurance side of it for just a minute. How much do the insurance companies control just how this is done? Or is that controlled in turn by what Medicare or Medicaid will pay and dictates what the insurance companies do there?
Yeah, I mean, Medicare and Medicaid costs, particularly Medicare costs, really set the stage for costs for private insurance. But a lot of times, you know, private insurance companies, they've gotten much, much bigger now, much more complicated. They own a lot more things. They own, you know, the companies that are navigating medications. They own lots of different aspects of the healthcare industry. And so it can be really difficult to understand where the costs are coming from, where the savings are coming from. I think that's why we see a lot of debate on that in Congress and in state legislatures, because everybody's passing the buck for how much things are costing.
Yeah, we even see state legislatures. I know our legislature in Florida is looking at controlling certain medications or pricing on medications, or trying to. I'm not a fan of government in regulating a lot of business, but they're trying to find a way to help consumers here. Anybody else out there advocating for consumers in this front?
There are some pretty loud, pretty aggressive consumer healthcare consumer groups out there. Specifically, a lot of places. Florida's actually got one as well, and I'm sorry I can't remember the name of them right now. But if you're a listener interested in that kind of advocacy work, there are groups out there that are pushing legislators. They're lobbying. They're advocating at state houses to try to get costs down on a lot of different fronts.
You know, we've experienced here recently a closure of a hospital, and it's put a big burden on the other hospitals in the community. There's a hospital that used to appear to be a busy place. I drive by it daily, and its parking lot is full now, and it was never that condition before. So we are seeing changes in this field. Anna Claire Vollers is with us. She's with Stateline.org. She reports on healthcare, on issues across the country. Today, she's with us here on the Florida Roundtable. As we continue, we'll take a look a little deeper, see what we can find that may help you out, and what are the other trends that are going on in moments.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp today. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. The InventHelp data bank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-558-5497. Again, 1-800-558-5497.
Nothing's better than taking to Florida's waterways with family and friends. But some boat operators don't realize that bow riding is extremely dangerous. It can lead to tragic accidents if someone falls overboard because of speed or direction changes. Be sure your passengers sit only in manufacturer-designated areas while underway. Their safety is your responsibility. Safe boating is no accident. To learn more, visit the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission at myfwc.com.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Growing up with a brother with autism, Sarah Crump witnessed firsthand how kids with disabilities felt left out by their peers. It's why at the age of 15, Sarah approached her cheerleading coach with an idea to include girls with disabilities on her school's cheer team. Well, what started out as an inclusive high school cheer team in a small town in Iowa has led to what is now known as Sparkle Effect, a thriving nonprofit with over 180 cheer teams across the United States, bringing students with and without disabilities together through cheerleading. The result? More confidence, higher grades, and better school attendance for kids with disabilities. And for those without a disability, new friends and a greater empathy. You want to learn more? Well, visit disabilitycampaign.org, where we have posted a link to the fabulous work known as the Sparkle Effect.
We're here early before they wake up. We stay late. We stay informed. We invest in the latest technology.
We take the time to train the next generation of doctors and nurses. We work together to make sure we heal their bodies and their minds.
We do this not because it's our job, but because this is about our veterans' lives. This is our mission. More than 300,000 of us working as one, together with families and loved ones. No matter where they live in this country, we'll be there.
We all come together and stand together to serve our veterans. We stand strong, united. Stand with us in caring for our veterans.
Imagine. Imagine being denied an apartment because of your religion, or your race, or because you have children, or a disability.
It's so wrong.
Yes, but who has the power to stop this?
You do. Each of us has the power. The law is on your side. It's illegal for landlords to discriminate because of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, disability, or familial status. If you suspect that you have experienced housing discrimination, file a complaint with HUD immediately so we can investigate it. Fair housing is your right.
Use it.
To learn more, visit hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Or call 1-800-669-9777. 1-800-669-9777. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
Welcome back to the Florida Roundtable on the Florida News Network. Bill Mick with Anna Claire Vollers from Stateline.org as we're taking a look at healthcare consolidation. What's that do to services? What does it do to pricing? And we naturally gravitate toward the negative impact of consumers. We've talked about that a little bit. Anna Claire, are there upsides when you see these consolidations happen, when a hospital buys out certain types of practices around it, or what is the benefit in that situation?
Yeah, I think we do see some. I mean, one benefit to patients is your doctor is now connected with physicians and other specialties, most likely if they've been bought out by a hospital system. So that might make it easier or more seamless to get you referred to a specialist. Maybe your records are always there in that system, no matter who you're seeing. That can make things a little easier. It might also, you know, I've seen in the area where I live, there's a large nonprofit hospital system that has bought up a lot of the very small hospitals in kind of outlying counties. And so, you know, a hospital buying these smaller hospitals that are struggling financially, we all have seen, I'm sure many people probably live near a hospital that has closed in the past couple of decades. We've seen a lot of hospital closures. And so doctor's offices and hospitals being purchased by these larger hospital systems might allow them to keep the doors open because they've now got access to a lot more capital than they did before.
Does that give those smaller hospitals then a chance to provide maybe even bigger or better services, or at least have that instant referral to it that's connected to the same company? That would seem to be helpful.
Yeah, it would. And, you know, it's funny because as a patient at this maybe smaller hospital, it might be easier to get referred to if you need a specialist that was never in your local, maybe rural community before. It might be easier to get a referral to one in a larger community. We have seen some of these hospital mergers and acquisitions. We've seen where when they buy hospitals that are in poorer areas, we have seen in some instances they might either close those or pull a lot of services from those financially underperforming hospitals and move them to more affluent areas and more lucrative areas. So that is something that we've seen, and obviously a detriment to those communities. But in other areas, you know, if it keeps the doors open and keeps some services at a hospital that was very likely going to close anyway, then that you know, that can be a benefit to the patients in the small community that that the hospital is serving.
When these consolidations happen, would the insurers that those hospitals are preferred providers for, I would assume that would automatically extend to the doctors that they picked up, that that all becomes part of their group, maybe enhancing the insurance capabilities for some consumers.
Yeah, it might. I think it would depend on the hospital itself and the physicians. It could be that if your small doctor's office had negotiated with certain insurers and they were providers and they're under certain insurances, if they get bought out, that may change for you as a patient. And so that's something that they would obviously need to disclose, and hopefully you would have that information with you, because we've seen in some cases, you know, where physicians get bought, then occasionally prices can go up for them or things change insurance wise. So you as a patient always have to be advocating for yourself and keeping an eye on those kind of things.
We've seen stories, and you're probably more familiar than anyone I would know, of doctors choosing to leave medicine and instead of being part of a consolidation, or maybe going to branch out to something else related, but not taking part in that corporate environment. There's got to be pluses and minuses. What are you seeing from the physicians?
Yeah, I talked to an OBGYN actually not long ago, and her smaller practice had gotten bought by a larger health company, and she decided to leave entirely. I think the corporate mindset for that particular healthcare company did not mesh with her personal values. She was much more wanting to utilize nurse practitioners, using nurse midwives and those, and maybe more natural type birthing options. And the health system that purchased her, that was not part of what they wanted. And so she left. So, you know, that is also an issue, I think, for doctors and for patients. There's less autonomy for the doctors if they're purchased by larger practices like that. So you might see that as well.
I had a friend recently go to an emergency room, potential broken hand. Typically, that's something you're going to wait a while for. Was there 4.5 hours. And when all was said and done, did not see a doctor, got an X-ray, talked to a PA. Again, and I'm not running down PAs. I've got friends who are PAs, and they do a darn good job. The bill doesn't change when you leave the ER. It's still the expensive hit, as if you saw a doctor, even if you didn't. And I've seen long delays in other circumstances, too. Does this consolidation contribute to that? It makes fewer facilities available? And what's the consumer experience when this goes on?
I mean, I think anytime you've got the larger that a health system or hospital system gets, the more the folks that are running the show are looking at everything very much on the balance sheet and looking for ways to cut costs. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but if that is starting to impact patient care, obviously that becomes a problem. And I will say the research on that we've seen so far on whether these kind of hospital systems buying physician practices or buying smaller hospitals, whether that impacts patient care is kind of mixed. We've seen studies and research showing that it had no impact at all. We've seen some that that have shown some negative impacts in like patient experience. There was one where I think people who had suffered a heart attack, you know, the mortality rate was like a slightly tick higher when after the hospitals have been purchased by larger groups. So it's a little bit of a mixed bag. And of course, a lot of that maybe doesn't matter as much when you yourself are experiencing something that just feels very impersonal and very, very corporate-y, which it sounds like that experience was.
You cover this regularly. How much does government regulation have to do with it? And then there's the liability side of it, with lawsuits waiting around every corner. But how much does regulation have to do with all the paperwork and documentation that has to be done, all the requirements that are there? That would seem, in some respects, yes, it's a CYA for the healthcare provider, but it seems to take away from the actual patient care part of this. Are you seeing that play out in any way?
We are seeing in some states, and I'm thinking particularly in the New England area right now, their lawmakers have really gone after healthcare mergers and these kinds of things, because they've seen a lot of, there were some issues up in kind of the Pennsylvania area where private equity came in, purchased hospitals. The hospitals started really declining, ended up closing, and it hurt those communities badly. And so lawmakers in areas like that have really gone after laying down tighter regulations, breathing down the necks of some of these hospital systems to keep that from happening again. We haven't seen that everywhere, obviously, and it kind of depends on the state where you live, obviously, and maybe more conservative-leaning states, lawmakers are more hesitant to impose more regulations like that. One thing that we've seen a little bit of, but maybe not to the extent that some, I think, advocates would like to see, is states regulating the mergers themselves, like looking at whether a hospital system buying another hospital system, or a hospital system buying a whole bunch of hospitals, whether or not that is in the best interest of the communities that those hospitals or those doctor's offices are in. There's not a lot of state regulation around that in a lot of places in the country, but you know, as people face some of the issues that we've been talking about, higher costs or less services at their community clinic or community hospital, I kind of expect that we're going to see more states trying to regulate this a little bit harder.
I know, at least my understanding is, in Florida, if you want to build a hospital, they have to do surveys and show the need and what the capacity is going to be. Sounds like a complicated system to navigate, even if you wanted to add healthcare to a region.
Yeah, which I think is why, partly why, you know, buying existing clinics or buying existing hospitals is, for a lot of these health systems, much preferable to deciding to build a new one, because there are so many regulations. There's a whole process called certificate of need that, mm-hmm. like you're saying, that the hospitals have to go through, or health systems have to go through to build something new. And that is can be very cumbersome. And there's actually been a movement, especially here in the South, from lawmakers, especially conservative lawmakers, to get rid of a lot of those certificate of need laws, to open it up so that healthcare systems can have more freedom to build kind of where
they
want.
You would think opening it up to competition might make for at least some type of moderation of price increases. Anna Claire Vollers is with us. We continue in moments on the Roundtable.
Do you have an invention idea but don't know what to do next? Call InventHelp now for free information on how to get started today. InventHelp provides invention services that help everyday inventors get started with their idea. We have representatives nationwide who will explain the InventHelp process step by step. Over 10,000 patents have been secured through InventHelp's patent referral services. Our services include professional materials needed to showcase your invention, and 3D animation and prototype modeling that help you demonstrate your idea. Get down to the details of your idea with a technical drawing. The InventHelp databank includes thousands of companies who have agreed to review new ideas. We've been helping inventors since 1984. Let's help you next. Take advantage of the opportunity to get started today.
Call us for free information at 1-800-577-2648. That's 1-800-577-2648. Again, 1-800-577-2648.
You work hard to provide a better life for your family. The only problem is that you now have a tax bill that you can't afford to pay. The IRS is now threatening to garnish your wages and put a levy on your bank account. You can't ignore the IRS. They won't go away on their own. You need help, and you need it now. Call the tax pros at United Tax Fix today. Call 800-762-2768. That's 800-762-2768.
In the U.S., motor vehicle crashes remain a leading cause of death among children. In Florida, children ages 5 and under must be properly secured in a child restraint device. Choosing the correct seat with proper installation and usage can save lives. Make your child's safety your priority. It's the law. Learn more at flhsmv.gov/child safety. That's flhsmv.gov. A message from the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Back on the Florida Roundtable, Bill Mick with Anna Claire Voller. She's a reporter with Stateline.org as we talk healthcare in general, but specifically consolidations and how things impact the consumer. By the way, you miss anything we've done or you want to catch up with us, head to BillMick.com, podcast for every Florida Roundtable, plus my weekday show there at the top of the page. So check that out when you get the opportunity. And Anna Claire, you mentioned something a couple of minutes ago that I want to explore a little more. You mentioned private equity firms in some parts of the country buying hospitals, and I would find that a little scary. Having experienced it in this industry, you experienced it in the newspaper industry where folks come in, they get involved. Their only concern appears to be numbers and dollar signs as opposed to the product being provided. Did we find that happen in healthcare when this happened?
Yeah, absolutely. Private equity loves healthcare. They love a lot of different industries. We see them in, you know, the car wash industry even.
Wow.
Private equity was one of those terms that I, you know, used to make my eyes glaze over before I started covering it. But they, you know, they're firms that take pools of money from pension funds and wealthy individuals, and they buy controlling stakes in a company like a hospital system or a company that owns hospitals. They usually look for a quick return on their investment and then try to sell within, you know, 5 to 7 years. And so that is why you know, they've got their hands in a lot of different things. I actually covered their involvement in veterinary care is another area that I think a lot of people may not realize.
Wow.
Large private equity companies own a huge chunk of our veterinarian services. And so we can go off on that tangent if you want to, but yes, they are very interested. They are less interested in hospitals lately because they've come under a lot of scrutiny. Private equity firms have from Congress, from other states, like I mentioned up in New England in particular, but we see them actually, they've branched out into nursing homes and home care is one area that we've seen a lot of private equity moving in. We've seen them in like plastic surgery and kind of health spa wellness type arenas lately. Really, anywhere you go that could be making money, you'll find private equity's fingers in there.
Has that impacted a trend that I've had friends reporting to me that when they go see a doctor who is tied into a major healthcare system in a region, they seem to be limited to a 5-6 minute doctor visit as opposed to previously, their doctor might have spent 15 or 20 minutes with them really getting into the issues they're facing. And I can see where that would negatively impact healthcare. I've seen it negatively impact friends of mine. Is that part of this equation?
Yeah, I mean, often, so if a private equity firm has purchased, you know, the healthcare provider that you're going to see, I mean, their goal is to streamline everything. And it might be to, you know, improve care, but if they're streamlining everything, then they're looking at all the processes that this doctor or this provider follows, and they're going to make that as absolutely financially advantageous to them as possible. And so maybe that looks like a shorter visit with each patient so you can get more patients through the door. There are a lot of ways that we as consumers might experience that. And so research has shown lately that sometimes when private equity purchases healthcare, the consumer experience can go down there. Not always, and you know, private equity firms would tell you that they are providing capital and access to all these resources that healthcare struggling healthcare providers might need. But there have been downsides.
Have you talked to anyone in the medical community who tries to fight that trend when it happens?
Yeah, there are independent medical groups that are very much trying to collaborate and combine with each other in order to compete with the big dogs, so to speak. And we've seen that, in a lot of areas of healthcare. I saw that in veterinary care and in other places where these, you know, individual independent providers are trying to stay afloat by banding together.
That's probably a good thing, and maybe it ends up being helpful in the long run. With that being said, are we seeing in general when this kind of thing happens, when the hospitals come in, they buy up practices, do services end up being expanded, at least for part of the community? It would almost sound like they're able to do that.
Yeah, when and it kind of depends, obviously, in every situation. But when hospitals buy smaller practices or smaller hospitals, they are able to and do, in some cases, expand services at certain hospitals. We've also seen where they've taken services out of the hospitals that they purchased and consolidated them at, you know, at another hospital that they own. I've seen that near where I live, where a couple of hospitals got bought out and their labor and delivery services closed and were ended up at one hospital further away.
Which can make it tougher. We've got one more segment with Anna Claire Vollers. We're going to wrap it up for you next on the Florida Roundtable.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-340-5510. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-340-5510. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-340-5510.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
Florida is kayaking country. Kayaks are a great vessel for exploring the state's beautiful waterways. But it's important to be prepared for the journey, regardless of your experience level. Get your boater education and learn about you and your craft's abilities. It'll help you have a safer, more enjoyable time on the water. Before you go, know your limits and always wear your life jacket. Safe boating is no accident. To learn more, visit the Florida Fish and Wildlife Conservation Commission at myfwc.com.
School is back in session, Florida. With precious cargo on board, school buses need extra care from motorists. Florida drivers are reminded to drive carefully, obey all speed limits, and never use their phone while driving in a school zone and around school buses. Learn more at flhsmv.gov/child safety. That's flhsmv.gov/child safety. A message from the Florida Department of Highway Safety and Motor Vehicles.
Shortness of breath, patient's confused, temp 102.
He just had an infection. What's going on?
He's becoming septic.
Antibiotics started. Bed ready, let's move him.
Infections can lead to a deadly chain reaction in your body called sepsis. Very quickly, sepsis can cause tissue damage, organ failure, and even death. If you know the risks, can spot the symptoms, and act fast, then you can get ahead of sepsis. Learn more at cdc.gov/sepsis.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
My son had a full-blown asthma attack. It came out of nowhere.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
I had a fever and these terrible headaches.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had Zika virus from a mosquito.
He had a reaction to cockroach allergens.
Threats to your health can come from unexpected places. Get the facts. Visit pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association.
Wrapping up the roundtable this weekend, Anna Claire Vollers is with us. She is a reporter with Stateline.org covering healthcare. And Anna Claire, what I'd like to do in this last segment, just the time we have remaining, you've been covering this for a while. Your column on consolidation caught my attention a couple of weeks ago. Recap for us what you discovered as you reported this story. And then if you could, best advice to consumers on what you've seen or seen others experience, what you've learned out of that.
Yeah, to recap, we're seeing hospital systems, large healthcare systems, increasingly buying up physician practices, imaging groups, nursing homes, a lot of aspects of healthcare. We've seen this trend over the past couple of decades. You know, just about even just 10 years ago, 60% of doctors worked in a practice owned by a physician, and now it's less than half. I think we'll continue seeing that most research is showing that that is making healthcare costs rise. Whether or not that's impacting the patient, the quality of the care that you as a patient experience is a little bit of a mixed bag. I would say, in as much as I've been researching this and also in my own personal experience with healthcare, my mom had a health scare a couple of years ago where we had experience with the hospital and a lot of different providers. I think that you have got to be your own best advocate. That means asking every question, no matter how silly it may seem. That means forcing your provider to stay in the room with you to answer all those questions, going online when you need to do a little more research on your own, and really pushing back anytime you feel like something just doesn't sit right, looking for another provider if a provider that you're using is just not doesn't seem to be listening or doing what you want. We're just not in an age anymore of small family doctors in your hometown, and you knew them and their parents, and your parents were friends with their grandparents. We don't have that as much anymore. And so I just think that everybody has to be their own best advocate and not always take everything at face value, even though we absolutely love our doctors and providers and nurses, but just always be willing to ask questions, take notes, and come prepared.
You hit on something. I mean, I often refer to the small West Virginia town I grew up in as being very much like Mayberry. Those days are pretty much gone when it comes to everybody knowing the doctor, everybody knowing your teachers, everybody knowing the insurance guy in town. It has changed a lot. Something occurred to me as you were talking, though. Is there any indication, and maybe you haven't researched this at all, that kids going through school who may have aspired to be a physician are reconsidering that because of the landscape when they come out of medical school?
I think we've seen a little bit of that. We've seen some trends particularly in different specialties. OBGYN is one that comes to mind, just depending on the state and how restrictive it might be on the way that they practice. But yeah, it's very, very expensive to become a doctor. And I think most people get into it for the right reasons. But if you've got a lot of expenses coming out of there, then working not for a small practice, but for one that can help you pay those bills obviously makes a lot of sense for them. And it's not always, not all health systems are evil or out to get you or anything. But it does mean that we as patients really have to advocate for ourselves and be our own best advocates, either for ourselves or for our family members when needed.
Absolutely. Reporter Anna Claire Vollers from Stateline.org. Anna Claire, I've enjoyed the hour. Thank you for taking the time, spending it with us, and hopefully we have good reasons to talk to you again sometime.
I hope so. This was great. Thanks so much.
Anna Claire, thank you. And that's going to do it for this weekend on the Florida Roundtable. I'm Bill Mick. Catch up with us at BillMick.com, and we'll see you next weekend right here on the Florida News Network.
You've been listening to the Florida Roundtable with Bill Mick, a news and public affairs presentation of the Florida News Network. The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of this station management, owners, or sponsors. For questions or concerns, contact Florida Roundtable at fnnonline.net.